Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought, a recent message. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you to please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, 10 o'clock.
In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, Moses came down, he broke the tablets that he had in his hand in his fury and anger. They broke, they fell to the ground and they broke. He saw the people dancing before the calf. And Moses says in verse 21, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not," means what want, means we know not what has happened to him. Verse 24, "And I said unto them, whatsoever hath any gold, or whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me." Now listen to, this is comical. "Then I cast it into the fire, And there came out this calf. No, he didn't work it. He didn't use any tools. He didn't mold it and shape it at all. He just threw the gold in the fire, and out came this calf. Oh, come on, Aaron. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and they went throughout the camp, and they brought forth a big slaughter. And in verse 28, about 3,000 men were slaughtered because God was angry. And Moses said in verse 29, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his sons and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Verse 30, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin. And now will I go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sins." Means perhaps I shall make an atonement. "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." And so this is known as the great sin. And so, but it started here where the Lord brought plagues or judgment upon Israel when they murmured. Five to number one, there's no judgment. So here in Exodus chapter 17, the people chided Moses because they thirsted in Rephidim, and God provided a river of water that flowed out of the rock of Horeb. Will you show that picture up there, Doug, for me, please? The rock of Horeb is near Mount Zion, and this was discovered, not Mount Zion, excuse me, Mount Sinai, and this was discovered near Mount Sinai, and all this rock, all this discovery here, this rock is huge. You would look like an ant. You would look like the size of this dot right next to that rock. If you can see this man standing down here, and this water shot out of here, and if you look from a view from up at the top and look out, you can see a dried riverbed. I mean, you're feeding over 2 million people water. And providing 2 million people, water was gushing out of this. And all the rocks around here show signs of a major flow of water. And they have been like round stones like you see around bodies of water. All the sharp edges have been cut off. And the rocks are very smooth. And this was Mount Horeb, where the rock that provided the water. Let's read that here in your notes. "And they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses." It's just another word for murmured. "And said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" What could they have done? Yes, they came into an area that didn't have water. What could they have done? Prayed. Asked God. "God, can you provide us water? Moses, can we all go to the Lord and pray and ask God for water?" But no, they complained. "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And so God said to Moses in Exodus 17, and we don't have that here, basically, "Smite the rock and water shall come up out of this rock." And verse 6 in chapter 70, "Behold, I stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it." And that is the rock right there. In number 4, The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So they're saying, God brought us into the wilderness so we can die there instead of Egypt. Of course God had a purpose for them, and he was going to provide for them. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. When we murmur against God's man, God's woman, God's authority, we murmur against the Lord. And God hears it and he gets angry. This is when God brought manna to the people of Israel. The bitter waters of Marah invoked their murmuring. Number two, the Israelites murmured at the edge of the Red Sea when they saw the Egyptian army pursuing them. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. So go back to the Red Sea picture. The people complained at the Red Sea. They complained right here at the Red Sea where they crossed over. And again, complained and murmured that God brought them out of Egypt, brought them all the way down here, protected them from the death angel who killed all the firstborn, and yet they complained and murmured. Do you see this? When Moses came the first time, came in, and Aaron came into the land, and Moses was telling the Pharaoh that he was there to deliver the Egyptians and take them out into the wilderness to worship the Lord. The Pharaoh added to the labors of the slaves, the Hebrew slaves. He made their work harder. The slaves murmured against Moses and Aaron, and that's number one. Five times the Lord is patient. Didn't bring any plagues upon them. Didn't bring any judgment upon them. But then they started complaining even more, and he brought chastisement, judgment upon the nation of Israel. These nine provocations led up to the final straw that caused God to forsake their entrance into the land of Canaan. At first, God did not chasten the Israelites for their provocation, but gradually he did, and finally the promised land was off limits to them, except for their children, Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were the two spies that gave an encouraging report about the promised land, and that Jehovah would go before them and deliver it into their hands. Moses sins later in time, thus preventing his entrance into the land of promise. And the Israelites continued to provoke the Lord even after Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness was their judgment until their carcasses were buried in the wilderness, for they would not inherit the promise. 1 year for every day the spies searched out the land of Canaan was their judgment. No repentance would reverse God's judgment upon them. Verse 39 in chapter 14 of Numbers. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. And they get defeated by those Canaanites there, because the Lord and the ark did not go before them. But note, God did not return them to Egypt, nor was their judgment similar to Egypt's judgment. Israel continued to provoke the Lord even after this serious turning point of this generation's iniquity. They never learned from their mistakes. They never learned. That's what stiff-necked means. Sometimes you can't keep the ox or the horse if you can't use them. Right? Where none of us are, or most of us have not grown up on a farm. But if the horse can't be broken, the mule can't be broken, the calf or the oxen can't be broken, what do you got to do? Send them to the slaughter for dog food, because you can't use them. They're stiff-necked. They're unusable. And Israel here, and the children learned from their parents' mistake. The children learned. They learned to listen to God and not to murmur against the leadership. And God brought the children into the promised land. Now next week, we're going to have to go through this next week. But this provocation is rehearsed in the ears of Israel as a reminder. Over and over again, Israel's reminded, remember what our forefathers did there in the wilderness. Remember what they did in Sinai. Remember what happened at Kadesh Barnea. Remember that. Did that help Israel? They got extracted out of their own land. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We've been in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. We've been looking at an event in the scriptures where Israel came out of Egypt, walked across the Sinai Peninsula, walked across the Red Sea, went to Mount Sinai. As I taught months ago, that at Mount Sinai they heard the trumpet sound. That is the first trumpet in the scriptures. That's where the Ten Commandments come from, the law of God that God gave to Moses. Moses went on top of the mountain and brought down the tablets, brought down the law of God, the building of the tabernacle. But we looked at then also that Israel sinned a great sin at that time. They were impatient. They couldn't wait until Moses came down. They didn't think he was going to return. And they made a molten image of a calf, took off their earrings, all their ornaments, melted it down, and made a golden idol. and worshiped that. And they basically, the Bible says, they played and they were naked. And they brought a great sin upon themselves and a great judgment. And that was a very detrimental sin. God brought a plague upon them. There was about, I forget if it was 3,000 people that died. But God brought judgment upon them because of their idolatry. And God almost was ready to terminate their lives, all of their lives, and just make a nation, a new nation out of the descendants of Moses, and destroy those people and their inheritance, all the descendants of Jacob. But God didn't. He refrained, but he was angry, and Moses intervened through prayer, crying out to God, and God pardoned, or God repented of the evil he thought against those people. And so then they went into Kadesh Barnea, and we looked at them going into Kadesh Barnea. It was a land just south of Israel. It was eastern part, near where I guess the Gaza Strip would be today. And they went there. They sent out 12 spies. Again, Israel sinned and brought back negative report, except for Joshua and Caleb. They didn't bring back a negative report of the land. They believed God's promise. He said in Exodus that he was going to deliver them into the land. He was going to send an angel before them, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. He was going to deliver them into the land, give that to them as an inheritance. And they were eyewitnesses of all the events that took place in Egypt. We saw that, spoke about that, all the plagues that took place, the deliverance of Israel through the Red Sea, the amazing miracle of parting the Red Sea, a wall of water, the Bible says, on both sides of them, and they walked on dry ground. And when the army of the Egyptians pursued them, God caused the water to come back upon the Egyptian army, and they saw the bodies of those Egyptians on the shores of Sinai, or the shores of Arabia. I talked about that Mount Sinai is not in the Sinai Peninsula, but that it is in Arabia. Many of our Bibles have misled us to think that it's in the Sinai Peninsula. That's because the Catholic Church put a monastery on some mountain that they said was Mount Sinai, and they had called that monastery where it is. They have a name for it. I forget the name of it. But that's supposedly where one of the Greek texts came from, Sinaiticus, where they found they found it in a trash pail, an ancient manuscript that was going to change the King James Bible. And it's a famous manuscript in a museum called Sinaiticus. It came from that monastery in Sinai. But it's the wrong Mount Sinai. The real Mount Sinai is in Arabia. And Arabia doesn't allow people to go there. They prevent people from going there because it would substantiate the Word of God. The evidences are overwhelming that it's Mount Sinai. And you can tell the tip of Mount Sinai is all blackened from the fire of God, God being a consuming fire. I showed you on an image that rock that Moses smote, and the water that came out, and all the riverbed that stems from that rock. You see the rocks and the stones are smooth from flowing water. They don't have rough edges because of this water, this huge geyser of a water coming out of the ground to provide water for Israel. Because remember, they're feeding and providing water. The Lord is providing water for 2 million or more souls. Okay, 2 million or more individuals. And so it couldn't just be a little sprinkling like the little, you know, springs that we have around town where people go and get fresh water. It was a huge river of water coming out of the ground to provide water. So we looked in our notes. We want to skip section 1. We're going to skip section 2 in our notes. We notice that when they came to Kadesh Barnea and they cried to the Lord because they murmured against Moses and Aaron, murmuring against the Lord, we saw that that was the final straw that broke the camel's back. The Lord got angry. He said, "You've provoked me these 10 times. You provoked me 10 times." And we went through the last time I spoke, all 10 times the Lord was provoked by Israel. And it goes all the way back to when Moses first came to Egypt and announced that God was going to use him. God was going to deliver them from Egypt. And God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And when Moses did it the first time, what did Pharaoh do? He hardened his heart and he made the work much harder for the Israelites as slaves. Their workload was even heavier and more burdensome. And so they cried out to Moses and said, "You know, why did you come? You've created more trouble for us." And by murmuring against Moses, they were murmuring against God, because Moses is a type of Christ, right? He's a type of deliverer. And so they murmured against. Now, the first five times that they murmured against Moses, God provided for them. He brought water. He turned bitter water into sweet. He gave them different things. He delivered them there at the Red Sea, because they murmured at the Red Sea. They were afraid they were going to die at the edge of the Red Sea before the Lord parted the Red Sea. But after that incident at Mount Sinai, when Moses was on the top of Mount Sinai, and the people got into idolatry and made a golden calf and worshiped the golden calf, God finally said, "I'm going to bring judgment." This time he spanked them. And he spanks them a number of times after that. And then at Kadesh Barnea, where the 10 spies said, "Oh, we are like grasshoppers before these giants," God was so angry, he said, "You're not going in to the promised land. And you're going to march around the wilderness for 40 years. For every day you spied out the land." The 12 spies went into the land of Israel for 40 days. For every day they were in the land spying it out, God said, "You're going to march around the wilderness for 1 year for every day." So it was 40 years. "Until your carcasses fall in the wilderness. And your children, who you were afraid that were going to be a prey in the wilderness to your enemies, I'm going to deliver them and bring them into the promised land. I'm going to bring them into Canaan." And so what the Lord is telling them, and what we're seeing here, is a whole generation of people not going into the promised land.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.